Where can you find hope for the hopeless? Opportunity for transformation. Peace amid life's storms. Only in God's free gift of eternal life. From New York, join us on the Pathway of Hope.
I once read that the average person's three basic needs in life are: 1, the need for shelter and food; 2, the need to believe life is meaningful and has a purpose; 3, the need for a sense of community and deeper relationships. Millions of dollars are spent daily by industries trying to satisfy our needs. Yet, with every new invention or new program, we still find ourselves in need of more. What are your needs today? Is it a new car, a new house, a spouse, money? Or maybe you would like to add value and meaning to your life by having a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. On today's program, Dr. Jules will point us to the one who not only has the ability, but is willing to supply not just some of our needs, but all of our needs.
All of my days, I want to pray. Let us pray. Loving Lord and our eternal Father, we're so grateful tonight for the multiplied promises we find in your holy word. And we claim those promises for our lives and for our living. We are confronted daily with challenges, but we live by the word. And so we pray that as this word goes forth, as one of those many promises is lifted up tonight, it is our prayer that someone will hear the voice of Jesus and find comfort and strength in his word. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4, 14 through 20. It reads, Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound in your account. But I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the book of Philippians was written for two reasons. It is first a thank you letter, and then it's a receipt for a gift that Paul was given. Now, Paul wrote the book of Philippians to the Philippians because the Bible says they had sent him a gift. In fact, they had sent him numerous gifts. And in this last passage of Philippians is probably the greatest promise in the entire Bible. It is so all-encompassing, almost any other promise will fit under its umbrella. Now, God's promise to meet your needs is verse 19. And it reads, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God says, I will meet all your needs. Then why do people have so many needs? A lot of Christians have tremendous needs. Why aren't those needs being met? Is God not to be trusted? Is his promise not valid? The answer to the question is that this promise, ladies and gentlemen, is not for everybody. It is not applied to every person, even every Christian. With every promise, there is a premise. There is a condition that God says, if you do this, I will do that. Now, people want to take the verse 19 promise and apply it to their lives while avoiding the premise of verses 14 through 18. You cannot claim verse 19 unless you're doing what verses 18 talks about. The context is Paul, and he's talking to a group of Philippians saying, thank you. You folk have given to me so sacrificially. And because you have given so sacrificially to me, God is going to take care of your needs. Now that's the premise of the promise. The promise comes to us out of verses 14 through 18. And it gives us a few items here that will help us to prepare ourselves to receive the promise and to avail our lives of the promise of verse 19. First, I must be generous to others in order to receive the promise from verse 19. Paul gives us three reasons for being generous. Number one, my giving is an encouragement to others. When you read verses 14 to 16, this is what it says. It was good of you to share in my troubles. As you Philippians know, in the early days, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Paul is saying here, listen, folk, you Philippian folk, you were the only ones. When I was in need, you met my need. You took care of my needs. You were concerned about me. You had an interest in my well-being. Now listen to this. The Philippian church was not a wealthy church. Just the opposite. It was a poverty-stricken church. Yet they were big-hearted, generous, and giving. Paul said their gifts encouraged him. Giving is an encouragement. Both the giver and the given receive a blessing and encouragement. My giving is also an investment in the future. Verse 17 says, this is a banking term, it says, though I appreciate your gifts, what makes me happiest is the well-earned reward you will have because of your kindness. Giving benefits the giver as well as the receiver. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 to 19, the Living Bible says, give happily to those in need, and always be ready to share whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. God's bank never goes bankrupt. God will never need a bailout. You're going to spend more time in heaven on that side of eternity than on this side. You might as well invest more on the other side. There's a third reason why we give. My giving is a sacrifice to God. Verse 18 says, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. The Bible says they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The most pleasing thing you can do for God is sacrificial giving. It is done in faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus Christ was a total sacrificial giver. When you are most like Christ, you are sacrificial in your giving, generous and sharing, and it pleases God. It says it's a fragrant offering. Now, this refers back to Leviticus chapter 7, which talks about a thank offering. In the Old Testament, they would lay an offering on the altar, pour it out, and it would create steam that the whole community could smell. A sacrificial giver is a beautiful person. You just love to be around them. Giving to them is an act of worship. That's why it's a part of our worship service. It's just as important as singing, as praying, and as teaching, and as preaching. Paul says the gift that the Philippians sent to him is a fragrant offering and acceptable sacrifice unto God. The gift they sent to Paul is equivalent to a gift to God. How could he say that? Because Jesus said it. Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. It's just like doing it to God. Every act of generosity in your life can be done as a sacrifice to God. Anytime you have a spirit of generosity, the spirit of giving, it is an encouragement to others. It is an investment in eternity, and it is a sacrifice pleasing to God. That's why Paul said it's so important to become a giver. There are only two kinds of people in the world. Givers and takers. The happy people are the giving people. Philippians is about joy and giving. The two main themes go together. Misers are miserable people. I just gave to you the premise. The premise comes before the promise. You can't claim verse 19 unless you're doing what verse 18 says. I must first be generous with others, Christ said. Give to others, and God will give to you. Be generous to others, and God will be generous with you. When you meet the premise of being generous with others, then you can claim the promise of verse 19. But stop claiming verse 19 until you've done what verse 18 says. Because it will never work in your life. Now let me give to you the promise. Verse 19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's the believer's insurance policy. It tells you what warranty God has guaranteed to care for in your life. My God, the source. God is not a force. He's a person. A personal God. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father. He is a heavenly Father. He's intimately involved in our lives. As a result, he's very aware of all of your needs. Your financial needs, mental needs, physical needs, health needs, and relational needs. And God is a caring, consistent, capable Father. Our Heavenly Father assumes responsibility for his children's needs. He does it in a perfect way. He's the source. But that verse also tells us that he's the scope. He will meet all your needs. Here's the scope. He'll meet not some of your needs. He'll meet all of your needs. This includes everything. It doesn't say that God might meet your needs, but God will meet your needs. It's a guarantee. If you meet the premise, you can count on the promise. If you are a consistent, generous giver, you can count on the promise. God is going to take care of all of your needs. Now, there are many people who misuse this verse. There are two categories that this does not include. This category does not include the consequences of laziness. This is not an invitation from God for folk to just goof off. God expects you to work. This is not an invitation to sit around with folded hands and say, I'm just trusting the Lord to provide. I had a lady once told me she wasn't working, so she came and asked me for a little money from the church. So I said, so why aren't you working? She said, the Lord told me to stay home and pray. James 4:3 says, you ask for something and when you don't get it, it's because you're asking with the wrong motive. You just want to consume it on your desires. Selfishness. God has not guaranteed you to provide you with all your luxuries. There are two false ideas about money. One, that God wants everybody to be a millionaire. And the other, that God wants everybody to be poor. They're both wrong. God is interested in you having your needs met. Our needs have a way of getting really exaggerated. We watch advertisements and commercials that tell you you need this product. The Bible doesn't say, my God shall supply all your greeds. My God shall supply all your needs. Now, this verse doesn't include consequences of laziness. God doesn't say you go out and waste your money on luxuries, and when you don't have enough to pay for your needs, I'll supply them. God hasn't agreed to do that. God doesn't bankroll foolishness. If I blow all my money in some area and my needs aren't being met, and I say, God, your promise isn't true. That's not God's fault. He has not promised to bankroll foolishness. What God has promised is what is covered in this verse. All legitimate needs. That covers a lot of material. Do you have a financial need? If you're a faithful giver, you have every right to ask God to meet your financial needs. If you're not a faithful giver, you have no right because you're not meeting the premise. How about physical needs, health needs, relational needs, emotional needs, any kind of need you may have? God has promised to meet all your needs. Now, if that's true, what does that leave for me to worry about? If God has promised to take care of all my needs, what should I worry about? Nothing. God says, I assume responsibility for my children's needs to be met. If you're a child of God and you're meeting the premise, you can count on the promise. Last part of that verse talks about the supply. Not only the source and the scope, but the supply. God will supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God's bank will never go bankrupt. He has unlimited resources. He has an inexhaustible supply, as exhibited in many of his miracles. There's a big difference between according and out of. Bill Gates, one of the wealthiest men in America, is a billionaire. And if he wrote you a check for $1,000, that would be giving to you out of his riches. But if he gave you a blank check and said, whatever you need, that would be giving according to his riches. God gives you a blank check. Philippians 4:19 is the blank check for the faithful believer. A blank check is worthless if it doesn't have a signature on it. But this check is signed with the name of Jesus, our Savior. His checks never bounce. There's a parallel passage that says the same thing. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. It has the premise and the promise. Now this is taught all through the New Testament. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give whatever he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is the premise part. Then comes the promise. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. If you will let the truth of this passage really grasp you, if you really grab a hold of it, it will revolutionize your life. The principle is this: if you become a giver, God will take care of your needs. The most miserable people are those who do not like to give. They wouldn't even give you a compliment. For if the willingness is there, then the gift is acceptable according to what one has, but not according to what one does not have. Giving is a matter of willingness, not wealth. God couldn't care less about the amount that you give. What God cares about is the attitude of your giving. It's the willingness, not the wealth. Some of us have not yet learned the joy of giving. We give, but we don't get any joy out of it. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, it is fun to give, because you know that you cannot outgive God. He more than blesses us back. I challenge you to practically discover the power and principles of this promise. Become a faithful, generous person with everybody, and watch what God will do in your life. Now, this applies to churches as well as it does individuals. The church that gives itself away is interested in others, and God will take care of their needs. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only just begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. This promise is not for everybody, but for those who will meet the premise, the promise is yours tonight, that God will take care of you. Amen. Loving Lord, we thank you for this word. We pray that you may help us to be in compliance with your holy word. Give us generous hearts, where we find joy in giving of ourselves, our means, our time, our resources, to the building up of your kingdom here on earth, and to the betterment of humanity. We bless your holy name. We honor your name. We love and adore you this evening. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for watching Path of Hope. If you would like to be prayed for or would like to learn more about God's Word, please call 1-877-520-HOPE or 1-877-520-4673. You may also watch more of our programs online at www.pathwayofhope.tv. If you would like to make a tax-deductible love gift, please send your gifts to Pathway of Hope at P.O. Box 280704, Queens Village, New York, 11428. Thanks for watching Pathway of Hope, and may God's blessings be yours today.